fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
All right, Vladimir, I've had enough. I, Barack, the Wizard of Obama, I'm going to set you straight. Over the next 90 minutes, I'm going to make sure you realize I'm not fooling around here with this Ukrainian thing. You're going to have to get out of there and let them have a bloody civil war and not arm your side while we supply our interest with humanitarian aid. And you're going to do this because I am the great and powerful Wizard of Obama. No, wait, Vladimir. Get your little dog away from that curtain. Your mangy little cur named Syria. Yeah, keep him away. As I was saying, we have part of the greatest military on Earth. Or was, and I am not afraid to... Syria, stop it! I told you, get away from that curtain! Oh, no! Pay no attention to that little man with big ears behind the curtain. Oh, you got me, Vlad. I'm just a humbug. Hey, folks, I'm Lair Adams, and that's just a preview of tonight's Two Real Theater. On the American Adversaries, courtesy of 660, AM 660, The Answer. Here's our host, and he's no humbug, Christopher Hart!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for being with us on Sunday evening as we depart on our three-hour tour. And that's right, folks, you are listening to the American Adversaries. We are on AM 660, The Answer, and we're coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. Real easy to remember, 407-678-3399. Okay, we got the full complement of adversaries in here tonight. That was Lair Adams. I am Christopher Hart. We have our executive producer, Nostra Dennis.
Present and reporting for duty, sir. Duty.
And we have back with us tonight our man, Carl Jackson.
Hello, everyone.
Who has his own show, and it's a great show. And we're going to talk a little bit about yesterday's show here in just a moment. And, of course, we have our WTF News hound, Johnny Guns, with us.
How I've missed sharing a microphone with Carl Jackson.
All right.
Thank you.
And of course, we are in good hands because we have Jeff Sinis on the bridge tonight guiding us through the ether. All right. Thank you, Jeff. All right. And thanks, you folks, once again, to join us here. 407-774-8255 is the number if you'd like to be a part of the show. And don't forget to hang on to that number because at some point during the show tonight, we are going to give away another couple of free bottles of Roxy Pacifics, the great all-new kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, anti-anything that's bad for your skin, and we'll be giving those away free on the rocks, and this is great stuff. If you'd like to find out more about it, go to Roxy Pacifics, that's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X .net.
Hey, Chris, did you hear what Ed sent us this past week? Sent us an article about kelp extract and the things it does.
Yeah, well, Lair was talking about that. You talking about the radiation?
Radiation.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that later, yeah.
Isn't that convenient, right in front of Fukushima?
Yeah, well, I've been telling you folks, that Fukushima thing is not over yet. They just admitted this past week that there was another leak of water that they are guaranteeing us did not make it to the ocean.
Yeah. Soak up the Roxy, folks.
Yeah, so, this stuff is great for all sorts of things. And we'll we'll be giving away some of that later on tonight. We're going to do our Who Said That contest tonight. It's got a little bit of a twist to it tonight. I'll explain that when we do it. And so you're going to want that phone close by. We're also going to be joined by our California girl, our own, very own L.A. woman, and that's Sunny, Patricia Summerlin. And we got Carl's Corner, we got Nostradamus' Pass, and Lair's loaded up with his closing comments. And so we're going to talk about, we're going to have all that tonight. We're also going to have Greg Phillips join us at 6 o'clock. He is one of the candidates for Apopka mayor up the street here. And we're finding out that this Apopka mayor's race is more interesting than just for residents of Apopka, because one of the main, if not the main issue in this campaign is red light cameras. And of course, these are all, this is an issue now all over the country. You know, there are people not just in Apopka and Maitland and other places that don't like these things. So we'll be talking about that with Greg Phillips when he joins us later on. And don't forget, folks, that election is 1 week from Tuesday on March the 11th. If you are a resident of Apopka, please get out and participate in the process. So if things don't go the way you like, you'll be able to legitimately complain about it. All right. We're also going to talk about what Lair was talking about in his opening comments. He's added again, I wish somebody would just take that red crayon away from the president, because he keeps drawing all over the walls and everything, these red lines, and they're hard to get off, and they cause a big mess, and we're stuck in the, well, the world has got a big mess now, at least in part. We can't blame it all on Barack Obama, but certainly his lack of real credibility is part of the problem. We're also going to talk a little bit about what Carl talked about on his show last night. And Carl, yesterday morning, which was actually live at 8 a.m. and replayed last night at 6 o'clock. And I thought the overall theme of what you were trying to do, you were tying three things together. Please give us a brief review, if you would.
Yeah, basically the FCC, the FCC incident that occurred in the last couple of weeks.
The FCC wanting to go into newsrooms all
right,
over the
exactly
country.
Right, exactly right. SB 1062 in Arizona and Common Core. And all of these have a commonality, and all of them cease or try to silence or cease conservative speech and talk. And so basically all of these are a way or an avenue of censoring. We have Obamacare. Common Core will be educational Obamacare. And so what the left is doing is framing, if you will, and silencing the conservative right. Now, I'll say this with SB 1062, because I know a lot of people said this was a great deal that that Jan Brewer did. She did the right thing. No, she didn't strategically, if you're playing long ball, because what she's done is effectively given up the right to argue bigotry from the left side. She basically caved and said, okay, yeah, the right are bigots, even though the bill addressed no such thing. Now, as a result of this, I guarantee, who are the biggest supporters of or opponents of Common Core? Well, it's stay-at-home moms, oftentimes Christian moms. What they're going to do is make religious freedom, the new nutty word, and anything, they couldn't get it through with blacks and civil rights. They couldn't get it there, but where they did get it was by making religious people like myself look like nuts. And Jan Brewer in Arizona just helped them do that effectively. And this is what they'll be using for the next several elections. I wish that conservatives, right religious, and libertarians would band together better, because I really think that we are the only hope for stopping Common Core. I don't even think the GOP get it at this point, and I'm sad to say that as a registered Republican.
I agree wholeheartedly with your analyses, and I want to take us back to for just a moment. And Jeff, please give us four more minutes in this segment, because I don't want to be interrupted so much in this. Do you remember the government shutdown this past fall?
All yes.
Right. And okay, but John Boehner was all on board, right? And then as soon as the government shutdown starts, John Boehner goes weak in the knees. And in the end, John Boehner comes out smelling like a rose, right? He is more powerful now, and the quote-unquote conservative Tea Party wing of the party has been marginalized. silenced, if you will, Carl. I think the same thing just happened. And you are absolutely right when you say conservatives, Christians, and libertarians. Because I'm here to tell you, and this goes back to Reagan. Reagan faced the same thing. What was one of the main constituencies that helped Ronald Reagan get elected? Do you remember? A fellow by Ralph, name of Ralph Reed, helped set it all up.
Okay. Was he? He was a Green Party. I don't know if he was a libertarian.
The Christian Coalition.
Okay.
Remember the Christian Coalition? Evangelical Christians came together solidly behind Ronald Reagan,
which was a trick because Reagan is a Catholic.
Well, not only that, but it was a trick because Christians tend to not get involved so much in politics. But
right.
Ralph Reed got them out to the polls en masse.
Right. But those who do and those who really express their faith, a lot of Protestants are very wary of electing a Catholic and vice versa.
Well, let me continue on. There's another group out there that's very wary of electing any Christian, and it's the Republican establishment. Now, let's look back at what happened with 1062. First of all, I thought that 1062 was a weak law to begin with because it was a backdoor approach. It was saying we want to protect religious liberties by allowing you to argue in court once you're sued. Well, if you really want to do me a favor, protect me from the lawsuit to begin with. Second of all, it was weak in its support because you had guys in the legislature coming out doing what I call the carry shuffle. They were saying, oh, well, if I'd really understood what I voted for, I wouldn't have voted for it.
Sure.
And then you had a weak governor, Jan Brewer. She is, in fact, a very weak governor.
Great point. She's made to look like a giant in the media. But when she's not tackling these big issues where she's not in the media, she's a very moderate, weak governor.
She is. And what better way to marginalize the Christians the same way the Tea Party was marginalized, but that set you up for failure? And when I say you, I mean Christians in general, and I, of course, include myself in that. But what the problem that we have is, and this is why I say you were right to say conservatives, Christians and libertarians, is that the Republican Party apparatus hardly likes Christians and conservatives, as well as the Tea Party, much more than liberals do. And you want to know why? Because they get in the way. Let's look at immigration reform, right? Who wants immigration reform besides the Democrats?
Yeah, the GOP, Boehner, Pete
Sessions.
The
GOP establishment, and who's pushing hard behind the scenes for it? The business community.
Yeah.
Now, if you go back and look at where a lot of the pressure was put on Jan Brewer, where did it come from?
Yeah, the business community.
The business community. You see, there's a bigger problem, unfortunately, that's being revealed to us here than liberals. And it is the Republican establishment. And once again, I emphasize, when people like Michael Medved and these other guys come along and say, oh, we all agree on the same things in principle, we just disagree about strategy, he is dead wrong. He's dead wrong. Because Christians do not agree in principle with the same way that the Republican establishment agrees with right now. And it is a big problem for both. And the Republicans are putting themselves in a predicament here because they are alienating the very people that they need to win elections solidly.
And the people that will fight for them. I mean, tooth and nail. They are losing the people that will fight for them tooth and nail. This is absolutely scary. What was happening, or what could have happened with SB 1062, if you had a stronger governor, a stronger legislature, is they could have reframed the issue. They could have literally put this on the left's shoulders and said, listen, you bigots, we have the right, we have states' rights, we have our First Amendment rights. Read the bill. The bill doesn't address homosexuality whatsoever. We're protecting our rights and our states' rights. They could have left it at that. They did no such thing. They let the left frame this, and they even started using the same language that the left was using and falling on their heels and going on the defense. And
see,
I'm sitting here, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, look at it from the angle that I'm looking at it from, and it makes perfect sense, right? They think that they have a problem with tea parties and Christians.
Yeah.
And they want to silence them, marginalize them. Now, having said that, there are several other states that are planning to take up this issue and do something in their own right. We shall see if they learn from the process, because there are very many strong governors out there that if this were framed right, it could be a victory.
And let me mention one governor that framed it right back in 1993, although he was no longer governor, but he knew how to frame it. And so did the ACLU. That governor was Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, who supported, I don't know what it was called then, but it's the same language that Arizona has now.
It was a Religious Freedom Act. That may not be the name of it, but that was what it was about. Religious Freedom Act. Right?
Yeah. And Bill Clinton came out for it.
And he ain't no fool. He understands politics. And so does Obama. And so do the Republicans. But the conservatives and the libertarians and the Christians all have something in common, and that is that both parties disdain them because they get in their way.
And so we are the ones to team up. I have my differences with the libertarian movement. However, when it comes to Common Core, I know that libertarians are against this. When it comes to Common Core, I know conservative Christians are against this. This is one area where we need to unite and fight against this Common Core. Because I'm telling you, this will take America down. You have education, you have Obamacare, you have illegal aliens, America is gone.
Yeah. Eva, I see you're on the line. We're going to go ahead and take the break. When we come back, we'll take your call. Folks, if you would like to call and be a part of the conversation as well, 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, sometime during this evening, we will be giving away a couple of free bottles of Roxy Pacifics, and they will be on the rocks.
We are the American Adversaries. Wow. One segment in the can. I can't wait. We've got 11 more of them, so stick around.
Adversaries, tough guy.
Oh, and away we go. And we are the American Adversaries, and we are on our 3-hour Sunday evening tour with you folks on AM 660 The Answer. Welcome back to the show, and we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. 407-774-8255 is the number. We have Eva on the line right now who wants to talk about this Arizona SB 1062, what I'm calling fiasco, the way it all played out. Eva, thank you for calling tonight.
Yes, but I also want to remember the March for Life next Saturday at 8 o'clock at Lake Kiowa and at the college.
You're absolutely right. That'll be University Carillon in Oviedo and the First Baptist Church on Good Homes Road on the west side of town. All three locations, folks, you can come out and participate. I'll be walking downtown at Lake Kiowa.
Another thing, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't our state legislatures go in session tomorrow?
Yes, they do. And we're going to have a man on the front lines who's going to give us regular updates, Dan Peterson from the Coalition for Property Rights, who's going to be going back and forth to Tallahassee as these different bills work through. He'll give us the lowdown and the inside scoop.
Well, I just wanted to let the people know you can watch them in action.
Well, if you can stay awake.
But again, you take notes.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It will be open to the public.
Yes, yeah. We've got to keep their feet to the fire. We have more control over them than we do in Washington.
Well, that's true. That's very true. And that's why we have what's left of our state's rights. That was the whole idea to begin with.
Well, that deal about Arizona is about states' rights.
That's right. Carl's absolutely right about that. You're right.
And the thing of it is, we better decide right now. And, Carl, that was an excellent show you had yesterday.
Thank you.
We got to decide right now whether we're going to just take it easy and go with the flow, or we're going to stand up, because somebody has got to stand up, and there's very few that's willing. Just think, if our forefathers had stood up like we're standing up, we'd all be speaking English now.
With an English accent, you mean
exactly. Sipping
tea at 4 o'clock.
Exactly. And wherever our strength is, we've got to get it and start standing up and be strong.
Well,
God gave us this country, and it's the greatest country on earth,
right.
and he expects us to preserve it.
Right. You're absolutely right. But I want to go back to what Carl said. Conservatives, Christians, and libertarians need to find that they have the common ground. And the Republicans need to be put on notice, because we don't need two Democratic parties or one Democrat and what Lair calls Democrat light. We don't need that anymore. Mm-hmm. That's what's gotten us into this trouble. We need true conservatives, true representatives for small government.
Well, and I'll tell you how they got that way.
How's that?
First of all, the Republicans were so minor after World War II, they never really got in any action till in the late 60s. And when I started voting Republican, if it had an R behind the name, it was a Republican.
Well,
but
it's,
now
it's,
we got to make them walk the walk.
Well, it's, you're absolutely right, but there's a big opportunity here. So we'll see if it can be prevailed upon.
That's true.
But, you know, by the way, that today is the fifth birthday, the so-called, of the Tea Party. And so the fact that that movement has been around for 5 years is pretty astounding in and of itself. And so, but thank you, Eva, for the call.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate it. And thanks for the reminder about the Walk for Life.
Yes.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And, yeah, please, folks, please come out and join us for the Walk for Life. And by the way, I don't think the Tea Party is going to go away. And I think I stumbled onto this when I was doing a Soundbite RX News Minute. The Tea Party is not so much a political movement as it is a political mood. People are in a certain mood, which is drawing them together. And it is being felt the strongest by conservatives, Christians, and libertarians. And not so much by Democrats, liberals, and yes, Republicans. So, all right, we're just getting going. When we come back, we've got a lot more to do. We've got Nostradamus going to talk about the past. We got Carl's Corner. We got Lair's Clothes, WTF News, and Sunny Out California Girl.
Another 2.5 hours to go. Can you stand it? We love it. Folks, the American Adversaries will return right after news.
Tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American Adversaries. These guys are sexy and smart.
Hola, amigos. I am practicing for what will happen to Americans if Common Core, Obamacare, and illegal immigrants take over the country. Practicing my Spanish.
Hey, Chihuahua.
You are listening to the American Adversaries live this Sunday evening on AM 660 The Answer. The number to call in if you like, 407-774-8255. I am Carl Jackson, sitting in studio with Christopher Hart, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Jeff Sinis is sitting behind the glass. And Chris was on a roll before we went to the break.
Well, I just want to kind of tie it up, and you know, that is that both parties have a disdain for the people that they govern because they oftentimes get in the way. There's a certain amount of disdain, believe me, in the Democratic Party for a lot of the people that make up their constituencies. However, they roll with it. I mean, this all kind of gets back to the reason why we say politics is like professional wrestling, because it's what you see in the ring is never really reality. Okay, it never really is. There's always something else going on behind the scenes where the backroom deals are made, and then you get the scripted storyline out there, and the scripted storyline about this bill was that it was anti-gay, and once that perception was out there, there was going to be no conquering it. And yes, the Republicans allowed that label to be hung on this thing. But it had a lot to do with the whole way they went about doing this.
Well, one of the side effects, though, that I think really affected a lot of conservatives was it came across as anti-business. And with everybody so afraid of anything to affect business right now in the economy, I think that had a big part to do with it.
That was where the business community came in.
I'll be honest. I felt like business was the scapegoat. I mean, keep in mind, we're talking about 1.7% of the national population. So any business in Arizona, and by the way, the business that they mentioned actually has a gay employee. So 98% of people would have probably still went to that business and purchased from that business had not this false narrative of bigotry come alive, because the people were not bigoted. They have a gay employee. What they said is, we've created cakes for gays, we've done this and that, we have no issue with that. The problem is when you ask us to or demand that we participate in something that goes against our religious freedom, our convictions, then you've crossed the line, and the government did. And unfortunately, Republicans don't know how to frame it. These people didn't have to worry about business. As a matter of fact, if truth be known, their business starts skyrocketing when they stood up initially.
Well, actually, it was. I think the big thing was businesses that complained about or said they wouldn't move there, or big corporations that were making their claims.
A lot of pressure.
And to Chris, what Chris
and
said,
the Super Bowl,
it's the perception. It's the perception that this would hurt business.
A lot of the pressure came from Hilton Hotels and American Express and people in the travel industry that felt it would hurt the tourism business.
Google or somebody was going to open up something there.
And most likely the reverse probably would have been true. But don't lose sight of what I'm saying here. And that is that don't trust that the Republicans' hearts were pure. You follow what I'm saying here? I think that the same thing has been done to the Christians that the Republicans did to the Tea Party conservatives with the government shutdown. They set them up for failure because they get in their way, like the way of immigration and whatever else they want to do, spending money more than they should. And yes, they do too. So I do not think the Republicans' hearts are pure in this. I think the Republican establishment is playing games here, and it's very dangerous games to play indeed. All right, but however now, it is time to look to the past with our very own...
Nostradamus predicts the past.
Ah, thank you, Mr. 5-Minute Professor. These are the stories that fell through the cracks all week and just... Combined to make a little stack on my front door all week. I'm bringing them in Sunday night to go over some of them. This one is a prediction not from Nostradamus, but from our colleague Hugh Hewitt at HughHewitt.com, who says that the Senate will go to the GOP in 2014. This is how he stacks it up. There's a new guy in the race in Colorado. His name is Representative Cory Gardner. He's running against Obamacare enthusiast Mark Udall. And here's a list of Democratic seats which Republicans are positioned to take. First, let me backtrack and say there are no Republican seats that seem to be in danger of being lost in the Senate. Those Republicans up for re-election, fairly safe. But Hewitt goes on to list the following races from the most likely to switch over to Republican to the least likely, and even the least likely are a possibility. West Virginia, Representative Shelley Moore Capito versus no one. After Capito got into the race, Jay Rockefeller quit. So she's going to win that race going away. Doesn't matter who ends up facing her. In South Dakota, former Governor Mike Rounds also versus no one. This is a mortal lock for the popular Rounds, who is a popular name and very well known throughout the state, known and liked. In Arkansas, young rising Tea Party-ish star Representative Tom Cotton is running against the hapless legacy Senator Mark Pryor. He is a heavy favorite to win there. Number four, North Carolina. Former Speaker of North Carolina House Tom Tillis, not Tom Tillison, Tom Tillis, is running ahead right now of another Obamacare big booster, Democratic incumbent Kay Hagan. In Michigan, former Lieutenant Governor Terry Lynn Land, contesting an open seat left so by ancient Carl Levin, who is designated a no-name with a propensity to disappear even more from voters' minds. In Virginia, Ed Gillespie, whose wife Kathy, of course, is part of the Reconstituting America group that Jeanine Turner and her daughter Juliet are a part of. And Ed is running against Mark Warner in a purple state, but Warner is real, real close to Obamacare. And the more we see of Obamacare, the less everyone likes about it. In Alaska, Mark Begich is the incumbent, but there are two candidates in the Republican Party that might end up facing him. Meade Treadwell is one, Dan Sullivan is the other. Number eight, Montana Representative Steve Daines must unseat the recently appointed John Walsh. He's an incumbent, but not really, because Max Trainwreck Baucus was exiled to China. And then other states, Colorado, Louisiana, Minnesota, Iowa, Oregon, New Hampshire. 14 states in which the Republican candidate or purported candidate has a chance to win. Even if only half of these states go red, the Republicans will win the Senate.
Now,
in 2014.
You had mentioned Colorado initially. Do you know what direction that race is going in?
Right now, Colorado is the state where Representative Cory Gardner just put his hat into the ring. Right now, Mark Udall is leading, but he's losing quickly and falling fast, because Udall was one of the biggest proponents of Obamacare. And as the year goes along, Obamacare is not going to get more popular. So this young upstart, Representative Cory Gardner, could be, just could be, the next senator from Colorado.
Okay. What else you got for us?
Let's see. Oh, you know what Michelle Obama's been concentrating on since her arrival as first lady? Obesity. Mm-hmm. Not
I was
going
to say people's booties.
Yeah, not hers, but in general, America's obesity, and specifically children's obesity.
I would be willing to bet money, though, and I'm just going to throw this out there, then we'll move on real quick. I bet she tips that scale a little bit more than she did when she walked into the White House.
You think?
I think.
Well,
that's,
you know,
just my personal observation.
When you're the first lady, with the job comes a largesse.
Yeah.
A largesse is what I said.
Yes. Okay.
Anyway, in a Gallup poll, American adults were ranked by weight category, and back when the Obamas took office, 25.5% of Americans were clinically obese. That number has been steadily going up. It's now 27.1. So we talk about the fight against poverty, the fight against drugs. The fight against fat is being lost, Mrs. Obama. Sorry. Lastly, Purdue University. You know them, Big Ten University.
They make
Boilermakers.
Chicken, right?
They do. Oh. They do. But they recently defended the right of a private speaker to blaspheme Jesus at an event on campus. But they've decided this time to curtail free speech and banned an alumni donor from using the word God on a plaque because it might offend someone. Dr. Michael McCracken and his wife made a $12,000 pledge to the University School of Medical Engineering. In return, the school said they could name a small conference room in a lab building, and they were invited to supply language for a plaque to be installed in the room. This is the message they wanted to put on the plaque. To those who seek to better the world through the understanding of God's physical laws and innovation of practical solutions, in honor of Dr. William Ed and Glenda McCracken. McCracken says the university rejected the message because it amounted to an impermissible government endorsement of religion. The university installed a plaque that only mentions the parent's name.
He couldn't pull his money back, huh?
Yeah, well, I would have tried to cancel that check, but
yep.
No, apparently God might offend someone, so we can't have that in the schools.
Oh, boy.
But you can offend Jesus.
Of course. Yeah. Well,
I know. What am I thinking?
Jesus is not angry. Yeah. He's really not.
Okay.
But he's getting there.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Great job, Nostradamus. And that Senate is definitely shaping up to favor Republicans. We'll see how that goes over the summer. That's a long time in politics. We've been telling you folks off and on about the trains that are blowing up. They're crashing and blowing up. Oil trains, not to make light of a bad situation.
Oh, I thought you were about the ones going up and down here in Orlando and all that, the little yellow trains.
So far they've been saying.
One blew up.
They're just making people's tempers
making
blow up.
Making people blow up, yeah.
Exactly. No. Let me read to you now what the federal regulators are now saying about oil trains, and I quote, these trains are, and I quote, an imminent hazard to public health and safety and the environment. Let me read that again. The federal government is now saying these oil trains, which we're being forced to use because the president won't build the Keystone Pipeline. Let me once again read what the federal government says about these oil trains. They say that the trains are, and I quote, an imminent hazard to public health and safety and the environment. Now, I've told you that they came out with new regulations which basically said they had to slow them down. They had to inspect the rails more. Now, what is going to have to happen is they're going to have to test each load of cargo, in other words, each load of oil, as to its flammability. Because as it turns out, the oil they're getting out of the Bakken Shale in these areas in Montana and other shale reserves that they're getting out by fracking, a lot of it's highly volatile. It's not real thick, gooey stuff. It's like the light, sweet crude. I mean, it's just about ready to go in your car. And this stuff is very flammable. Now, if they just get their minds right and put the pipelines in the ground, we wouldn't have to worry about the imminent hazard to public health and safety and the environment posed by trains. The environment. Yeah. All right. We'll be right back.
Chris, one day they're going to call you an environmentalist.
Huh? I'm an environmental hazard to liberals.
And on 1520 The Biz.
Yeah, you should see the studio roll pointing at each other.
I'll bring us back.
You bring us back. Wait, I'll bring us back. Okay, I'm Nostradamus. I'm bringing us back. We're the American Adversaries. It's the three-hour tour on a Sunday night, and we're almost out at international waters. And we're about to have a guest on the next segment. His name is Greg Phillips. He is running for mayor of Apopka against John Land, who's been mayor since before I was born. Isn't that right, Chris?
Long time.
It's about that time for this segment, which we like to call Carl's Corner. Take it away.
All right.
Carl.
Hello, everyone. We're going to keep it nice and simple today. I'm going to focus on Common Core. I started speaking on this briefly yesterday on my show. I didn't get to cover a lot of things, but I am going to mention some things that you should know. First off, what you should know is that both there are some GOP members, as we've already spoken about, and there are some Democrats that are concerned with the fact that people are catching on to this Common Core idea or concept, and they're afraid. And here's what they do. Representative Mike Lehr of Missouri, as you might know, said a joke that got or garnered national attention. Here's what he said. If I could find the joke, he basically said he purchased aluminum foil, tin foil. He literally wrote a bill for this. Okay, tin foil to make a joke about conservatives, and he claims to be a conservative that believed in the black helicopters and Common Core. This is what we're up against. And the sad truth of the matter is this is a guy that he himself is being deceived. This is the danger with Common Core. And I'll be honest with you, I almost took more time to research and I was a little hesitant to talk about it even yesterday simply because it is hard to find anything worth speaking about as far as Common Core is concerned. Now you're going to say, well, why are you speaking about it, Carl? Because it's everything. This is the weird thing about Common Core. You sound like a nut when you speak on it only because you cannot find the authors of Common Core, although you can find the people that initiated it, Bill Gates, Google, Rupert Murdoch, a lot of business interests behind Common Core. But you can't find the author. Even North Carolina Lieutenant Governor has searched for the author, begged for the author, wanted to discuss Common Core with the author, cannot find the author of this. There's absolutely no accountability when it comes to Common Core. What it is a large, large, large bill that will destroy America's educational system. It'll totally wipe out choice. It'll totally wipe out free thinking. Because what happens is, and unfortunately Jeb Bush has his name tied to this, I do believe this will be his RomneyCare if he doesn't back away and back away fast. But here's the deal. It's going to destroy the country. You have to have Common Core aligned material in order to progress in the educational system in America. This is what they want to do with Common Core. So imagine this. You have my daughter who's homeschooled. She's reading very intense history books, college level books at this point in time. Those books will not be Common Core aligned. Now you can go state by state by state by state and you can find different books that are Common Core aligned. The problem will be is who gets to say which books are Common Core aligned? Who's accountable for that? Who writes the curriculum? Teachers write the curriculum to Common Core as they go. This is the stuff. Common Core has no definitive identities as of yet, legislation even, except that they want to take over the system and tell you what books to read.
Is that kind of like how the health care bill evolved?
Yeah.
No one knows who wrote that either.
Yeah.
Well, we know now that lobbyists wrote it.
Yeah, and this is the same deal. I mean, I'm going through this, and there was an article that I put on my Facebook page. You could go to Facebook.com/Carl Jackson Radio. And I'll find it, and I'll put it on the American Adversaries page as well, that Michelle Malkin wrote. But it's absolutely horrendous. I'm sitting here trying to find it, and I can't find it at this present time. But it's absolutely horrendous. You will not study algebra until the 9th or 10th grade under Common Core. When it comes to definitive answers with math, in one state, you may have to have definitive answers. I've heard a lot of people say, yeah, it's going to be crazy. 2 plus 2 is going to equal 5. It may in your state, or it may not. You may have some right answers. The goal isn't to educate your children. The goal is to get access to your children. Why do I say get access to your children? Because the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Google are working in cahoots with the government and exchanging access to your kids in exchange for helping to promote and advance Common Core. This has nothing to do with making education better. This has everything to do with, I mean, just destroying the... your privacy, getting to your kids, getting to their information. This is talking about it. I get frustrated talking about it.
It is the epitome of George Orwell's Big Brother, because what it does in essence is it makes knowledge relative. Let me say that again.
Exactly. Great way to put it.
Common Core makes knowledge relative. All right. They say they're going to rely more on teaching kids to think critically. Unfortunately, a kid can't think critically if he doesn't have the basic tools to work with. And the basic tools to work with are the 3 R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Yeah. There is no replacement for the basics when it comes to education. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. The thing that frightens me the most about Common Core is when I hear and this is something that I don't like about libraries in general. When I hear where a county in Florida announces that they're going to get rid of all textbooks and everybody will be issued a laptop or a pad, an iPad or whatever you want to call it, tablet, I guess they are. What frightens me about that, let's just think now, if you are somebody who wants to do a little revisionism of history,
yeah,
it's a little bit more difficult when you have millions of books out there which say one thing. But when you can simply go into a supercomputer and push a few buttons and all of a sudden history is totally different than what it ever was before, hey, why not? And then when you listen to the language that the people use when they talk about educating our kids, they don't talk about educating our kids anymore. What do they say? They want to train our kids. Well, excuse me, but I don't have any children. But when it comes to the children that I'm very close to, I don't want them trained. I want them educated so that they can decide for their own selves what they want to do with their lives. You see, this and the business about Republicans supporting Common Core goes back to my theme in the first part of the show. They have other motives. They have other goals than conservatives and Christians and libertarians do. And those goals more mimic the goals of liberals and progressives. And I'm sorry to say it, but that's the reality. And the one guy that I really can't figure out on this is Bill Bennett.
Bill Bennett.
Because the guy who's a philosophy professor.
Former education secretary for the United States under
Let me tell you guys, Reagan. Though, as I studied this more, I could understand how people would be easily duped.
Sure.
I had to really dig to find out how intrusive this was, because initially looking, you can't find much. I just want you to consider this one thought. You'll never, under Common Core, be able to make a first impression again for your entire life. They'll already know you. You'll already be classified, over and done with.
All right. Well, we're not over and done with, folks. We got two more hours to go. When we come back, we'll be joined in the studio by Greg Phillips, mayor, excuse me, candidate for mayor. Not yet, anyway. We'll be right back.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Hour number two of the American Adversary Sunday Night Edition. Don't forget, Monday through Friday, we're here at drive time at 5 to 6. Now, during this second hour, I'm going to throw it to our host, Christopher Hart, who has a special guest in the studio for us tonight. Chris, who's that?
Well, we all have a very special guest. Thank you, Blair Adams. That's right, folks. I am Christopher Hart, and we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And I have sitting to my left, Carl Jackson. Don't forget, folks, he has his own show, and yesterday he gave an incredible good explanation of Common Core, and very impassioned show yesterday morning. If you didn't catch it, go to where?
Facebook.com/Carl Jackson Radio. It'll be up on that page. Also, you can go to SoundCloud.com and find it there as well. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Next to him, we have our WTF news hound, Johnny Guns, and our executive producer, Nostra Dennis. But we're joined in the studio tonight by our guest. He's running for mayor of Apopka, and it's a four-way race. And this gentleman is here to let you folks get to know him. If you are a resident of Apopka, I hope you particularly sit up and pay attention. You other folks, don't go away, because we're going to be talking about some issues that are common around the country. And so let me go ahead and introduce you tonight to Greg Phillips. Thanks for being with us tonight, Greg.
Thanks for having me in here. Thank you.
We appreciate you coming down tonight, and you and your lovely wife taking time to be with us on Sunday night. First of all, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was born and raised in central Illinois. I moved down here from the farm country when I realized it was okay to leave the snow for the warm weather. I came down here for the 500 one year. I left my house. It was 22 below zero. I got here. It was 73. I ended up moving down 6 months later.
So you're a racing fan, I take it.
I love racing. Yeah. I love all sports. I'm a very sports-minded person. I grew up playing baseball and football and basketball just because in the middle of farm country, there's nothing else to do except work and play ball.
I'm sorry, what year did you exactly come down here to live?
1984.
Okay. That may have been just past the prime of Apopka, but ironically enough, Apopka was the hub of a lot of car racing here in Central Florida. When I was a kid and growing up and going through high school and into my 20s, you would every Friday and Saturday night, there would be a parade of cars that would come from Apopka heading to Bithlow out there where Speed World is.
The Speed World, yes.
Yeah, and they were usually drag racing cars, but they would soup them up out here in Apopka. That's where they built them, and then they would take them over there and race them. And as a matter of fact, there was a famous racer that came from Apopka.
Fireball Roberts,
that's right.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, my wife was asked to sing the national anthem at his memorial in Apopka, but it didn't work out. She wasn't in town at the time to sing, so.
Okay.
But we were hoping it was going to happen.
All right. What are you doing now?
Now I am a medical service rep for a company called Getinge that we manufacture sterilizers and washers and lights and tables that are worked in, they're going to business and work in hospitals and surgery centers throughout the world. Getinge is actually the largest manufacturer of that equipment in the world.
So medical devices is what that business been affected, your particular business been affected by the new Obamacare medical device tax?
No, it hasn't. Because whether any other part of the medical field gets hit, sterilization is still
sterilization.
It needs to be to make sure that everyone is safe when they go into a hospital. That's my job, is to make sure that the person going in and out of the hospital is germ free as possible. Okay. So that when a doctor's working on someone, that the equipment is sterile.
Okay. Are you a Republican, Democrat? I know this is not a party.
The race is nonpartisan,
right.
But I am registered Republican.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. There are four candidates running for mayor. The election is the 11th. Is there a possibility of a runoff if one candidate doesn't get 50% plus one? Yes.
With four running, there is a almost 80 to 90% chance that there will be a runoff.
There will be.
Yes.
Okay, between the top
two. It makes it real hard to get 50% plus one when you have four candidates running for the same spot.
Okay, so there's a very good chance then.
Yes, it's quite possible that the mayor's race will go through into the first week of April.
Okay. Nostradamus said that he saw you out campaigning. Where was that, Nostradamus, the other day?
Yeah, let me see. My daughter volunteers out at the Avian Reconditioning Center out in Apopka, off on Harley Lester Road.
Yeah.
And she goes out there and works with the falcons and the eagles and, you know, all the cute little birds of prey they have out there. And I'm sitting on the corner of Welch Road, and I see a guy holding up a sign that says Phillips. So, okay, she's one of Phillips' supporters. Then I read his T-shirt. Says, vote for me.
Yes, I am the only candidate out there most of the time. I don't have the money that the two of the candidates have behind them. I'm trying to beat money with work. So I'm out there working as hard as I can every day on the corner letting people know, listen, I'm asking for your vote. I'm not paying someone out here to get your vote. So I had talked to my wife. I said, listen, here's what I want to do. I want to have vote for me so to know that if they want to stop and talk to me, stop and talk to me. I'm right there. You don't have to say, where is he at so I can talk to him? No, I'm sitting right there on that corner. Ask me any questions you want.
And are you going into all parts of town? In other words, are you seeking votes in places where Republicans sometimes don't seek votes?
I am seeking all. I want to be mayor of the whole city of Apopka. And right now we have a separation of Apopka and South Apopka that needs to be brought back to a community that it used to be. So I've been down in South Apopka quite a bit. I've become quite popular down there, matter of fact.
I was going to ask you how you've been received.
I was down there yesterday on Friday afternoon. I stopped back by an area that I'd talked to like 40 people Friday before. And I stopped by and saw this few people that I'd talked to. And this lady looks at my van and she goes, I voted absentee ballot for that man right there. I've never met him before. But but everyone here said he's a nice guy and I should vote for him, so I voted absentee ballot for him. I said, well, I understand he's a very nice guy. and she goes, well, I've heard he is. I go, he's a very nice guy. She goes, well, I want to meet him someday. I said, I like to introduce myself. My name is Greg Phillips. Nice to meet you. She goes, you're just messing with me. I said, yes, I am. I said, but I thank you for your vote. And is there any questions you want to know? I'm sitting right here, and you can talk to me. And so I've been all over the city. There's not a separate part of the city. If you're mayor, you are a ambassador for the whole city, not just a certain population, not just a certain ethnic group. You're the mayor for the whole city as a whole.
Greg, let me ask you a question, sir. Have you ever run for office before or held office before?
I have not. This is my first time in the ring. But what I was brought up in the middle of farm country where you fix things or they didn't work. And my dad told me, if you find something that you don't like, fix it. So that's the reason why I do what I do. I find things that aren't working and I fix them. And I feel that our city is not working right, or whether there's a major disconnect between the government and the people, and the government has forgotten that when you're hired, as in elected by the city, you're hired by every person in that city to work for them. Your job is to work for them. So the disconnect is part of the reason why I'm running for mayor right now.
Carl,
is there any truth to the rumor that you're running because you want to get free tickets to watch the Apopka Blue Daughters win their football games?
Matter of fact, it's not.
I'm just joking.
No. All right. Although I would have liked a better parking spot when I was down for the state championship this year, because I parked way away from the stadium.
Let me tell you something. Johnny Gunn just brought something to my attention on Facebook, and I really appreciate
it. I didn't do it. I wasn't there.
Well, I appreciate what I'm. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. It was good. I was there. I did it twice.
Yeah. I hope you were. You were talking about the south side of Apopka. I was unaware about this division, but Johnny Guns is showing me this. What website is that, Johnny? Is that his Facebook page?
That's his Facebook page.
Okay, so that's your Facebook page. I want you to respond to this because I don't see enough candidates, and I understand you're a Republican, but I know it's a nonpartisan race. I appreciate what you're doing here, and I want you to just explain why you're doing it and give your heart. I know you've kind of touched on it already, but what I'm seeing is pictures of black people that you're visiting, and you're sitting with them, and you're talking to them. I appreciate this so much because I often tell Republicans, we have more in common with the black community than a lot of liberals do, but we just don't go and talk to people. Is this your attempt to do that? Is this your attempt to show people, hey, this is what we should be doing? Is this just you? What's your reasoning behind this?
That is just me. I'll talk to anyone. I had a friend of mine that was I'm a member of the Elks Club in Apopka, and I had a friend of mine who's talking to some people who are sitting over on the side. They're part of the Tea Party, and he said, "There's an ex-mayor over there," and well, they were already endorsing one of my opponents in the race, and he walked over and goes, "They want to talk to you." I said, "Okay." Well, I went over and talked to him for 20, 30 minutes, and when I came back, he goes, "I'm sorry about it." I go, "Don't be sorry. I'll talk to anyone." I mean, there's no difference between you, me, my wife, everyone. I mean, if we're the city of Apopka, we're the city of Apopka. There's no difference, as far as I'm concerned, as far as color, race, religion, anything. Everyone is the same. You should be able to talk to everyone and answer any questions you have. And if you don't know the answer, find the answer. Because there's a lot of stuff. I'm not a politician. I'm a talker. I'm not a speaker. There's a lot of stuff that I don't know.
Sure.
However, there's also a lot of stuff that if I don't know it, guarantee within minutes I'm going to, because I'll be on somewhere finding the answer to it.
Good.
Folks, we're talking with Greg Phillips. He's running for a mayor of Apopka. If you have any questions for him, please call us now, 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-8255. Greg, do you have a website?
I have a Facebook, Greg Phillips, okay, for mayor of Apopka.
Okay.
You can go on Facebook, Greg Phillips. I'll accept your friendship right there.
Okay.
And if you go to Greg Phillips for mayor of Apopka, I'm right there, and you can ask any questions you want. If you want, I'll give my phone number. Call me, because if I become mayor, everyone's gonna have my phone number.
Okay.
Because I believe we should be able to talk to the mayor, and he should be able to talk to you.
Just so you know, because spelling counts on Facebook, Greg with two G's, Phillips with two L's.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's Greg with two G's, Phillips with two L's.
Although I may get a vote for me Facebook page sometime soon, just for my shirt.
Okay, there you go. You mentioned a little while ago absentee ballots. It's my understanding that a lot of absentee ballots have already gone out in this election. And furthermore, there's only one voting place that will be open on the day of the vote. And you think there should be more voting places open.
Oh, I guarantee there definitely should be. Absentee ballots, I heard there was 7,000 already, 7,000 absentee ballots that have been either sent out or voted on already. I believe that we have 27,000 registered voters in Apopka. If we were to have, as we have right now, we have one polling place, which is downtown Apopka, the older section of Apopka. I do believe that since we have 27,000 people there, as many people should be allowed to vote as possible. So you should open as many polling places as you can, because it doesn't hurt just one candidate, whether it's me or Joe Kielsheimer or Mayor Land or Glenn Chansey. It hurts everyone in this election. That if someone loses by 12 votes, and those 12 were up in the northern part of Apopka that didn't make it down or had to work and couldn't get through the polling place, that's Your right as an American is to be able to vote, and if the ability to vote is taken away, that's not the way it should be. If I was mayor of Apopka, every polling place would be open that I could get open, okay, to make sure that everyone had a chance to pick who they wanted for mayor.
Well, for right now, where is the one that is going to be open?
It is at the VFW on Central Avenue, downtown Apopka.
Okay, that's the VFW on Central Avenue, March 11th, unless that changes, unless you have an absentee ballot. If you are a resident of Apopka, go out to the VFW on the 11th downtown to vote, to place your ballot. Also, I'd like to ask you this before we move on. The red light cameras are a big issue in this election. What is your stance on those?
My stance is they're a nuisance. Unfortunately, when they are put in, the city that puts them in has to abide by all rules of the roads set up by the Department of Transportation. There are a lot of rules and regulations that go along with it that have to be abided by, which should be changed. If you stop at a stop at the stop line and your bumper is over that stop line, legally they have to give you a ticket for that. That's not running a red light. There's no reason for that to be there. I believe that the cameras should be reevaluated. The city spent a fortune to put them up. Just banning them and pulling them down, I think it'd be kind of irresponsible. I think it need to be reevaluated. Now, I also believe that there's changes that could be made to make them workable. No one's ever going to be happy. You're going to find two people on one person on each side of the fence each time you talk to someone. However, lack of knowledge of how they work and lack of information coming from our local government is part of the problem why we have all the issue right now.
Okay, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. Folks, we're talking with Greg Phillips, candidate for Apopka Mayor. 407-774-8255 is the number.
If you have any questions for our candidate, please call us right now. He may have some answers for you that will give you an idea who you want to vote for. That's what the American Adversaries does. Listen to us six nights a week. We will be back.
So powerful, so heavy you collapse.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries on our three-hour tour. We are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, folks, for the best in dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation with us, call us at 407-774-8255. We're right now talking with Greg Phillips, candidate for Apopka Mayor. Greg, before we went to the break, we were talking about the red light cameras, and I think you wanted to make a quick clarification before we go on here.
Yes. When I was talking about the regulations, it is actually Florida statutes that govern the
rules of how these cameras
the rules
are supposed
of how they're supposed to run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, one good thing that has happened is, as of January 1st, the red light cameras have been mandated that if you have a speed limit of 35 miles an hour through that red light, that the yellow light must stay on for 4 seconds. If it's 40 miles an hour, it must be 4.4 seconds. And if it's 45 miles an hour, it must be 4.8 seconds. Hmm. So now the cities are at least told, listen, here's what you have to abide by. And matter of fact, Channel 9 did a little expose a while back, and only one light in the Central Florida area was timed incorrectly.
Oh, incorrectly.
Yes. So the cities have either changed them or they were fined before, except for one light that was wrong in the Central Florida area, and apparently that city is paying back quite a few $1,000s worth of fines.
I see.
Because that one intersection was wrong, and it was not Apopka.
All right.
It wasn't Apopka. They were part of the scrutiny, Ben. They did. They passed after January 1st, apparently.
Well, now, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal the other day that says much of the research shows that these are more of a fundraising tool for the city than they have to do with safety on the highways. How would you respond to that?
According to all the numbers, Apopka is making a lot of money off of red light cameras. They are fabulous as far as bringing money in. So I really don't know if things will change because of the new situation we have with the government mandate on times. But I've also talked to a few police officers who have said, especially in Apopka, the corner of Park Avenue and 441, the camera actually helped solve 3 hit and run accidents at that intersection. And they're telling me, listen, Greg, please don't get rid of them. Maybe we can just work them so they're just a camera, an intersection camera to help out with
right.
traffic.
I was going to say, yeah.
Which I have no problem with. I have no problem with helping out with traffic.
And those are all over
but
Orlando.
But as far as being a cash cow for a city, it shouldn't be. You shouldn't be taking money out of harder in people's pockets in order to fund a new study.
All right, Johnny, you had a question?
Found an article online just to put a number to how much the city of Apopka has made off of red light cameras. The city has levied a total of $3.6 million in red light fines from 22 cameras during the fiscal years of 2012 and 2013, which is about $200,000 more than second place Orlando during the same time span.
I would guess that Orlando has
Apopka,
a little more traffic.
44,000 people compared to Orlando, which has a couple more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of your goals, one of your goals is to make Apopka a destination. Do you think things like the reputation Apopka is getting for its red light cameras work against that?
It does work against it. There are a lot of people who are going around Apopka. Thing is, I would probably go around Apopka too if I was going somewhere. Because Apopka, we don't have a whole lot of stuff to do in around town.
That was going to be my next question. Are you a pro-growth candidate? Would you like to see more businesses come to Apopka? And would you make it easier for them to set up shop there?
I would love to see more businesses coming to Apopka. We have no reason to stay in town to... We have some great restaurants that are there. However, we have a lot of people who would like a little more opportunity to go to another spot. We don't have one nice retail store to go to. We don't have any mom and pop stores to go to. We have a lot of dollar stores. If you want dollar stores, we're the capital. But I would love to even be an ambassador to the restaurant chains, to the larger restaurants, to the larger retail people to say, listen, Apopka wants you here. We have 44,000 people in the city. If we actually took the actual city and county people that are actually Apopka, there's over 100,000 people in that area. But we don't have a reason to stay in town to do anything. We go out of town to eat. We go out of town to shop. We go out of town to find any entertainment at all. We need to have a working entertainment division in Apopka to keep people in town to spend the money that we make elsewhere in town.
Okay. We're coming up on a hard break. When we come back, we have one more segment with Greg Phillips, candidate for Apopka mayor. If you'd like to ask him a question, 407-774-8255. And once again, you can visit his Facebook page. What again is that, Greg?
Greg Phillips for mayor of Apopka.
Greg Phillips for mayor of Apopka on Facebook.
Yes, we'll have some questions for Greg when we come back. Please join us.
Hello, this is Mark Merrill, former WCW World Television Champion, Johnny B. Bad. It's a good day to be a bad man, but it's even a better day to listen to the American Adversaries. And you better listen. Don't let me come and get you, because it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries on our three-hour tour. We're halfway through, halfway to go. Don't forget, at 8 o'clock, we hand it off to Mark Walters. He'll take you live till 11 with Armed American Radio. And we have a new treat for you tonight. If you want to go up the dial, if you like listening to John Butler Book, he's going to be live starting tonight on Sunday nights on 9:50 at 8 o'clock.
Same time. That's right. That's the commercial I heard.
Yep. That's John Butler Book on 9:50 at 8 o'clock. And Mark Walters on 6:60 a.m. The Answer at 8 o'clock.
So you mean, Chris, you're not going to rush home
choices.
To watch the Oscars? Come on. Didn't you guys care?
We'll get to that maybe later on.
Yeah, what a snoozer.
We'll get to that maybe later on when Sonny joins us. But we still have Greg Phillips in the studio. He's candidate for Apopka mayor. If you'd like to help him out, go to Greg Phillips for Mayor on Facebook. Also, if you'd like to ask him a question, 407-774-8255 is the number. We'll get right back to Greg, but you know, this is also our Who Said That segment. It's time for our Who Said That part of the show, and you know how we play this, folks. We read a quote, and you simply call us up and tell us who said it. If you are right, you win the prizes, and this is sponsored by Cafe Positano, our great friend Pasquale O'Barba, which is where we'll be spending St. Patrick's Day. We're doing a live remote broadcast from over there. Love to have you come out and join us. That's Monday, St. Patrick's Day, at Cafe Positano. If you get the right answer, you'll win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and a t-shirt from our great friend Scott over at My Liberty Threads. And you can find out more about his t-shirts at MyLibertyThreads.com. That's MyLibertyThreads.com.
How do you think Pasquale would look with one of those tams on his head? What do you think? I think it'd be perfect. Maybe he could dress it in kilts.
By the way,
that's Scottish.
You can go to our Facebook. Isn't that banner up on our Facebook site, Dennis? Yeah,
yep.
You can go to our Facebook site, American Adversaries, and see the banner that we have put together, the flyer for that St. Patty's Day gig. So please do come out and join us for that. We're going to have a lot of good, lot of fun. So, for tonight's quote, if you know who said this, give us a call at 407-774-8255. And who said, and I quote, "At the end of the day, fiscal discipline is the predicate for a free society." If you know who said that, give us a call. At the end of the day, fiscal discipline is the predicate for a free society. Now, this one's a little tricky today, folks, because this you're not going to be able to find this one in your history books. All right,
you won't find it today. Well, in this country.
Well, actually, the fella said it today. All right, I'm going to give you that much of a hint. Now, that makes it a little bit more difficult. That means maybe you're just going to have to make a guess. But I'll throw out another hint. This person is not a Republican. All right, he is in politics. It is a he. He is in politics. He's not a Republican, but he did say today, at the end of the day, fiscal discipline is the predicate for a free society. And the reason I'm using this quote tonight is not only do I think it has a lot of truth to it, but, I mean, how free can you be when you're broke, right? But the president is coming out with his new budget this week, and, of course, he wants to, once again, jack up the spending and take it out of the defense budget's hide, but nonetheless increase spending by $56 billion over the prior year. So if you know who said you want to take a stab at the end of the day, fiscal discipline is the predicate for a free society, 407-774-8255 is the number. Now back to Greg Phillips. Real quickly, Greg, I want to ask you about this. You want to make it possible for, what, restaurants only? I think they already sell alcohol on Sunday, but you want to make alcohol available in, I guess, 7-Elevens and things like that on Sunday.
Actually, my stance on it is, I want to see the people of Popka decide. For the last 61 years, actually, the law went into effect in 1937. And ever since Mayor Land has been there, it has been the same way. Matter of fact, in 1993, he did an interview with the Orlando Sentinel and said that he believes that's what the city of Popka wants. Well, I don't know if he even asked anyone. But so I want to ask the people what they want to do. If they want to have sales of alcohol on Sunday, I say that we should be able to do it. They should do it, because I've personally talked to the manager of Publix at Rock Springs and Welch Road, who told me that any given Sunday they're losing $15,000 in alcohol sales on Sunday. That's $780,000 worth of revenue they're not bringing in on during the year, which is $78,000 worth of tax that the city would get. As a revenue fund, that's not good business to allow a smaller version. And I realize we have a large faith based community in Apopka, but allowing a religion to mediate what everyone does, I don't like it. I think the people of Apopka should have a vote as to what should happen.
All right. You mentioned this is just another reason why you say that Apopka is not a destination right now. It's a speed bump.
Speed bump between Mount Dora and Altamont, yes.
In other words, there's a lot of reasons not to go to Apopka.
There is very, very many reasons not to go to Apopka.
And you want to turn that around.
I want to bring people to Apopka. I want people to go, I know where Apopka is because I was there last weekend. Not because I drove through it heading over to the Mount Dora Art Festival. Not because I drove through it going to Olive Garden in Altamont. I want people to come to Apopka. Right. We get revenue at our mayor's forum. They're bringing up would I possibly raise taxes in the city? Well, if we raise revenue coming into the city, you don't need to raise taxes in the city. The money will be there. You bring businesses in and actually have the people spending the money. I make an okay living. If I spend my money in town, guess what? It's going to the city. We don't need to raise the taxes if we have revenue.
How has the tenor of this campaign been going? It seems that John Land is realizing that he's in a bit of a fight for a change, he is showing some signs of desperation.
There is so much mudslinging going on between two of the candidates right now that they have forgotten exactly.
That would be the mayor.
That would be the mayor and Joe Kilshimer.
Right.
They have been going back and forth against each other so much they've forgotten why they're actually out here for this time of year. This is to be elected as the mayor of the city. This isn't to go out there and see if you can beat the other guy. This is to go out there and see what you can do as mayor for the city of Apopka. Not, oh, I beat this guy. You're not there to win. You're there to to be elected to work for the people out there. And you're not out there to put as many yard signs as you can out there legally and illegally, because most of them are as far as the political handbook that we're given, most of the signs out there are placed illegally. I guarantee that candidates don't own the electrical boxes on the corners that they have their yard signs taped to. And right along Mecaiva Springs Road on Lester, I guarantee none of the candidates own that land along there, which is owned by the state, Mecaiva Springs State Park. So their signs should not be there according to the political regulations. The mayor, the candidates are not above the law, especially the mayor. You're not above the law. You're supposed to abide by the law more than anyone else in the city. You should not try to think you're above the law and put and have your political action committee that you have working for you putting them wherever they want to do. You should follow the laws.
Carl has a question, but I just want to point out that you've hit on a couple of themes here tonight that I think are nationwide themes. First of all, you use the word disconnect. That there's a disconnect between our political leaders and the people. And then you just use the phrase above the law, which is a phrase that Larry uses regularly when referring, for instance, to our administration. And I would say other politicians as well. And who knows, Chris Christie may or may not fit into that category. But feeling like you're above the law doesn't seem to have party affiliation. Carl, okay. You mentioned John Land, and he's been mayor for 61 years, and that's not straight. There was a four-year period that what would you say?
From 67 to 71, he was ousted. He was ousted, but then in 71, he was voted back in.
And so for one term in the last 65 years, he was not mayor of Apopka.
Correct.
He's a 90-some-year-old man.
He's 93.
93. And he evidently is sharp as a tack mentally, but he does have a great deal of difficulty getting around. Do you think that would be an impediment to him being a good mayor?
I believe a mayor should be out in the city. You should see what's going on in the city at all times. You should be an ambassador between the city government and the people. You should be out at every event you can be at as long as you can to let them know that you're here, you're paying attention to them. Go out there, talk to them, ask them how they're doing. Find out if there's anything you can do better, because mayor's job isn't to sit there and run meetings and open new barber shops. It's to be out there with the people and doing what they need to make their lives better.
Okay. Real quickly, Tim, Warren, and Tim, we see you lining up there with guesses for Who Said That contest. Please stay with us. We'll go to you after the break. Final thing, Greg Phillips, who's running for mayor of Apopka, we're just about out of time. I'll give you the last minute or so to say anything you'd like to our audience.
I am not born and raised in Apopka. However, I don't have to be a resident for any longer than I have been now to love the city that I live in. My wife and my son are here. I love the city that I'm in. I'm a little league coach, and my whole life has been working for people to make sure that things work out right. I have a deep dedication to doing things properly and to make sure things are done well. And if I'm the mayor of Apopka, I'm going to make sure that everyone knows that every day I walk in the office, they're the ones that put me there. I'm going to do my best job for them.
And you have been here for 30 years, since 1984.
I've been in Central Florida for 30 years. I don't have to own a business to be able to run a city, because there are a lot of good people working in City Hall right now that can help me out. Matter of fact, I would love to have Mayor Land on speed dial so I can ask him any questions that I come up with, because he knows what's going on. I just don't think he can be the ambassador that we need right now.
Listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
All right, welcome back, folks. You are listening to The American Adversaries. We are on our three-hour Sunday evening tour, about ready to wrap up. Well, getting close to right. Yeah, we're just about ready to wrap up the second hour. Boy, these shows just fly by. And welcome back. We are live coming to you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. I am Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, Carl Jackson, and Greg Phillips, who's still in the studio with us. If you have any questions, you can still call and ask.
No relation to Jim Phillips.
407-774-8255. 407-774-8255. Carl's getting ready to cut out. He's going to go over. He's taking his wife and mother-in-law before his mother-in-law leaves town to see Son of God tonight. But don't worry, folks. He's promised not to tell us how ends. Okay, so I'm gonna go over and see it this week too, folks. Please, if you have the opportunity, please go out and see Son of God. You know me, I very rarely ask you folks to go out and see movies unless it's a special movie, because I just don't like asking you to give your good money to them Hollywood folk, okay? And not that I have anything against all Hollywood folk, it's just a lot of what I perceive is to be anti-American movies coming out of Hollywood. I don't want to support. And the one that's out right now that I would suggest, and I very rarely do this, to tell you not to go see, do not go see Nonstop. It's evidently a great action movie, but the fact is the villain in the movie is a white conservative. They could have found somebody else. In
haven't
my
even
opinion.
Heard of this movie.
You'll see the trailers, but he's a white Tea Party type ex-military. He's the terrorist in the movie. Come on.
Oh, of course. By the way, folks, you should know that Carl Jackson is very close to his mother-in-law. One night he took her out to dinner, and she was having a discussion. And she said, "Carl, you know, I think I'd like to be cremated." And Carl said, "I'll get the car."
Oh, watch out. She's probably listening, Larry.
Sorry.
I didn't say that. She is.
Carl's treating from the movie tonight because of that.
Actually, we had the opportunity to meet his mother-in-law, and she's a dear woman.
Yes.
And so...
A little levity here,
right,
folks.
All right, we're in the middle of our Who Said That contest. The quote tonight is, "At the end of the day, fiscal discipline is the predicate for a free society." And I chose this because Barack Obama just doesn't seem to have the same notion. Let's just put it that way. So we got some callers who think they know who said it. Let's go to Tim on line one first. Jeff, Tim, that's the first Tim on line one. Thank you for calling tonight, Tim.
How are you?
Hey, Tim, we're doing great. How about you?
Great.
Where are you calling from?
I'm home.
Oh.
I'm home.
Okay.
Finished work late, but I'm here. And you all have heard of Chicken Kiev.
Chicken Kiev?
Yes, I've warmed it up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great, great restaurant entree, served at a lot of banquets and stuff. But I'm thinking John Kerry is like a chicken going to Kiev tomorrow. And he would probably be the one that might say this.
No, he's not smart enough to say this. Actually, the guy who said this is a lot smarter than John Kerry. Good try, but no, it wasn't him. Thanks, Tim.
And maybe he'll get stuffed, too.
We appreciate you being out there, Tim. And we'll see you this week, perhaps, over at Cafe Positano.
You going Tuesday, Wednesday, what?
We'll be over there Wednesday this week.
Wednesday. Okay. We'll lock it in.
Okay. All right.
Have a great show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
Bye-bye.
All right. Jeff, next I want to go to Tim from Claremont, but Warren, don't go away. No matter what happens, Warren, don't go away. You'll see what I mean. Tim from Claremont, let's go to you next. Who do you think, at the end of the day, fiscal discipline is the predicate for a free society?
Hey, guys, love your show.
Thank you.
That would be Jerry Brown out of California.
It was Jerry Brown out of California. How did you know that?
I get about 9 news feeds every day, and 2 of them, most of them are financial, but 2 of them are current events, and I read this stuff all day. So.
Yeah.
Can you believe he said that?
I can.
Yeah, I can. Sort of.
Because Jerry Brown is a different kind of Democrat. Now, he's about as liberal as they come, but he does, having run California now for 12 years, and he's going to run for re-election, he does have an idea of balancing a budget. And actually, California right now is running a surplus, although they got big trouble down the road.
Right.
He definitely hit the nail on the head, because if we're bankrupt, if we're broke, it's going to be very difficult to have a free society. So hats off to Jerry Brown, and hats off to you, Tim. Tim, have you ever gotten a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics yet?
No, I have not.
Well, we're going to toss in a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics as well. And congratulations. So you really hit the treasure trove tonight. And make sure you get all that information to Jeff so that we can get your prize out to you. And maybe you can come over and spend St. Patrick's Day with us and spend that $20 gift card with us when we do a live remote over there.
I would absolutely love to do that. I'd love to have a chat with you guys. I love your show.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And that's where you can come meet us on St. Patrick's Day at Cafe Positano, the greatest Italian restaurant in all Central Florida, 4 miles west of I-4 on State Road 436. Once again, congratulations to Tim from Claremont. And we'll go ahead and declare Warren from Orlando the winner as well. Warren, Jeff, do we still have Warren online?
Yeah, I'm still here, guys.
Oh, thank God you are.
Yeah, hey, I had a question for your guest.
All right, please go ahead with it.
Yeah, according to, I think it was the 2012 census database, whatever, we had something like 180,000 suspect voters out there in terms of illegal registrations. Is there anything being done about that?
You're talking about statewide?
Yeah, statewide.
Are there any safeguards for this APOPC election just to try to make sure that everybody who votes can vote?
I have not heard of any safeguards to make sure that there aren't any ghost votes being cast out there.
Do you anticipate?
I do know that I don't have anyone that's currently in the city cemetery that's voting for me. although my sister did call me from Chicago and she said I'll have all my friends voting early and often. she said that's how we do it in Illinois.
Well, I was going to say like they do it in Illinois. But right now, Warren, I believe it's very difficult for a city on its own to do that searching, and that's supposed to be being done at the state level. So the
supervised elections should be. Should be where that goes through.
The county should be. But nonetheless, this looks like it's headed for a runoff. Wouldn't it be interesting if the runoff did not include the mayor, the present day mayor?
That would be amazing, and I'd be very happy if I was one of the two.
They'll find a cardboard box full of votes in those.
John Land, he's a decent man. When you get right down to heart, John Land is a good, decent man. He has spent all of his life in public service and, to my knowledge, has never been tainted by scandal. It just may be that it's now time for a new guy.
Yes, Mayor Land's been there a long time, and he is a great man. He's been fabulous to my wife and me while we were there, and I mean, he is one of the sweetest men you ever meet. But I think it's time for a new generation of leadership.
I mean, at the debate the other night, it took four people to help the man negotiate two steps. And not to say anything, about old people. I mean, I'm getting up there myself. But the thing is, he has a great deal of experience that he can impart to some new people. And I perhaps believe that would be more valuable at this point in his life. But who am I to say?
Well, he did an interview lately and said that if he wasn't to win, he'd want to write his memoirs. And I would love to see what he would write, because I would be the first one at Barnes & Noble to buy that book, because he knows a lot about Apopka. He's lived through a whole lot in his 93 years, and the stories that he's told just in the moments I've got to talk to him, absolutely incredible.
And you said you'd have no problem with consulting his expertise.
I would love to have him on speed dial so that if I ever have any problems in office, I can go to him immediately and say, here's my problem, how can I handle it?
All right, well, Warren, we're just about out of time. Any last thoughts?
Oh, I was going to say, as far as age is concerned, the other day I was walking up a flight of stairs, and I decided halfway up that I might make it a base camp.
And then you're looking down, and you go, oh, well, I don't want to go there either. But, yeah, thanks a lot, Warren. We appreciate it. We appreciate your humor as well. And we got your information, too.
Okay, great.
All right. Okay, it was Governor Jerry Brown who said at the end of the day, fiscal discipline is the predicate for a free society. And I know I've said this on the air. I don't know if you particular folks who are listening tonight have heard this, but during the 1992 campaign, I was following Jerry Brown. And because he was for the, I didn't say I was supporting him, but I was following him, okay? Because he was for a flat tax. Yes, a flat tax from Governor Jerry Brown. And he was also adamantly trying to tell people about something called Whitewater. Do you remember something called Whitewater?
Oh, yes, thank you, Clintons.
And Hillary Clinton in particular, her involvement in it, which only got him the disdain of Bill and all the other Democrats. Why, how could you attack my wife? All right, so even Jerry Brown has had his good side. Let's just put it that way. All right, folks, we got a good side, too. Greg Phillips, good luck to you. And we appreciate the fact that you're running. We appreciate the fact you came in here tonight.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for having me in here.
All right. Folks, don't go away. We got a whole another hour to go. We got Sunny, our California girl, coming up, and we still got to talk about this mess in Ukraine. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
A call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
And we are feeling pretty good, folks. That's right. We are the American adversaries feeling good because we're on our 3-hour Sunday night tour with you, ladies and gentlemen. We want to thank you so very much for being with us tonight. Don't forget, our phone number is 407-774-8255. And we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios for the best in Mercury Free dentistry. Call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. And don't forget, folks, 2 weeks from tomorrow on St. Patrick's Day, we're going to do a live remote broadcast over at Cafe Positano. Would love to have you come out and join us. Dan Peterson is going to do some live entertainment, some live music for us. We've got some prizes to give away, some T-shirts to give away. It's going to be a lot of fun. Please do be there and join us. We'll do the live remote broadcast from 5 to 6. Then we're going to stick around for dinner and just a little bit of St. Patty's Day celebration. We might even sit out where may we sit, Lair? Patio.
Oh, outside.
Patio furniture.
Didn't somebody tell me that was the name of a bar here now or something?
Will there be green beer?
Or green pizza?
I don't know. We'll have to ask.
He should have green beer and green pizza.
I'm bringing my food coloring just in case.
All right. Okay. And that's from an honest-to-God Irishman there.
But you don't want green pepperoni. That's
green meat, green sausage.
All right, folks. It is time right now for Sunny Patricia Sutherland, our California glow girl. That's right, folks. We got our own L.A. woman, and it is Sunny, and she is coming to us live from Los Angeles. Hey, Sunny, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, guys. I thought I'd bring my four-leaf clover and maybe hop on over there to Cafe Positano's. I cannot wait to try his food.
Hey, I tell you what.
If that's all you're wearing,
if you're going to be there, it's going to be like we hit the pot of gold. You know, it's like you're just a treasure to us. So.
Thank you. And you guys are pretty darn awesome yourselves.
All right, well,
and guess what? I have an opening segment real fast.
A little
joke again.
All right. Go ahead.
What happens when fog lifts?
What happens when fog lifts?
Yes.
I think I know this.
Oh, no.
UCLA?
Oh, my goodness.
Yay!
Okay, just for that one now, you guys just really, I thought it was appropriate considering our weather here, you know, of course, with the rain and
Is the rain still going on or has it moved away now?
Well, it was raining today and it still is. It's about 58 highs, know, low 50s, and we're still expecting probably another 40%. They say by tomorrow it should clear up. Let's hope so.
Yeah, it's one of those good, bad things right now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, actually...
Yeah, this is true. I'm kind of waiting for the gold to float up to my door.
Well, I want to talk to that in just a minute, but the weather reports the weather reports thought that it would clear up for tonight's Oscars, but evidently you're saying it's still rainy and messy there.
Well, it is. It's off and on, but, you know, the Oscars is going on. I've actually got it on as we're speaking, and they're looking vibrant as ever, and no rain on their parade yet.
Okay. So we still get...
Just go ahead.
I was going to say, to me, the best part of the Oscars is the people coming and going down the red carpet there, you know. I just can't get into the awards giveaways. But so they're still going to get be able to waltz down the red carpet there, I guess.
Oh, they are doing that, yeah.
Okay.
They've set up their whole... tents, if you will, with the overhead, and to make sure they're not getting their wonderful hairstyles wet.
That just wouldn't do. And actually, it's a big thing for a lot of the businesses around Los Angeles because the gowns and the jewelry and all of that, basically the stars are billboards for those sort of things, aren't they? Aren't most of the gowns and the jewelry loaned to the stars to wear for these events?
It is. Yeah. It gets them out there. It gets their name out there. Sponsorship is the name of the game in that business. And, boy, do they know how to wear it. Aren't they lucky? And they get all these freebie gifts, you know, to actually display. The companies put their goodies out there, and they get to grab onto that. And when these stars are out there with them, everybody knows about it. And that's how it works in that biz. And it's a wonderful thing. You know, not only do they get, you know, the chocolate Oscars, which are yummy, because I've had a few of those. And I've actually graced the red carpet, I'd say about 10 years ago, at the same Academy Awards, which I'm in that actual Academy Award book wearing a Tadashi gown.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good old memory. Yes.
I'd
rather watch it from my big screen.
I hear you. Especially on a rainy night like tonight. Now, Lair's right. This is a blessing and a curse. In other words, the blessing is you guys really, really needed the rain, especially in Southern California. But then you get the mudslides and the stuff, the inconveniences that go along with it. But, of course, you do need that rain really bad. But it's kind of bad news for the prospectors out there. You mentioned the gold floating up to your door. Now, there was a story that hit the wires this week about a couple out walking their dog. I guess it was in Northern California, and they stumbled across some tin cans full of gold coins.
They're a lucky couple, I gotta say.
I'll say. But that's only the half of it, because evidently because of the dry conditions, people prospecting for gold, you know, finding it in the ground, in the dirt, were finding it a bit easier to find new gold.
Yeah, this is what's happening. Due to the drought, things are surfacing up. You know, it's... to my understanding, that's how this couple, they were walking their dog, and they ran across something, I guess, that was shiny in the ground, you know. Apparently, from the 1800s, from the old robberies, you know, certain bad boys back then were stashing their gold. They'd find a way, however, to do it, whether it be in cans or in the erosion of, mud or rocks or wherever they could. They could hide that gold, I guess. And now that we're in this drought, it's exposing, you know, it's rising from the surface because there is no rain. So, you know, there's shiny things sticking out, I guess. And they just happened to stumble across it. And how much money? We're talking,
over 10 million.
10 million, yeah. That's they're a happy couple.
Sure. Now, Sonny, I know out west in the New Mexico area, after a rainstorm, people go outside, and that's where you have your best chances of finding turquoise.
Yeah, there you go.
After a rainstorm.
That turquoise is like in the what do you want to call it, Back Hills gold or South Dakotas as well?
Yeah.
Isn't that where it's known for? Yeah.
Now,
the Dakotas.
Now, part of the reason why it's so dry in Southern California, part of the main part of the reason, obviously, has been the weather. Evidently, you got more rain in the last, 48 hours than you had the whole entire prior year. But there's also the issue of getting water from Northern California down to Southern California, and things like snail darters and other endangered, quote-unquote, species get in the way. Enough that the California legislature is putting forth a bill called evidently Senate Bill 42 that is trying to deal with these issues. Is this sort of pitting the Southern part of the state against the northern part of the state, in particular farmers and things like that?
I don't really see that. I just know that, you know, we're in a drought both on both ends, and that's, you know, it doesn't seem like they're disputing over that too much.
No. This has to do with water that's in the northern part of the state being restricted from being moved to the southern part of the state, and the farmers in the southern part of the state saying they could weather these droughts a little bit better if they could move that water back and forth. But because of political reasons, that's not happening.
Imagine that, separating northern from southern California.
Just imagine that, right.
Speaking of which, I guess our wonderful governor is hopefully trying to help out with that process.
Well, now he's decided to run again. Is he real popular in California right now?
Yes. I mean, like I said, I happen to like Governor Jerry Brown. He is an oldie but goodie. You know, as we know, he was a state attorney general and a mayor of Oakland, California, you know, and his first, governor, his first shot was 1975 to 1983. So he's been in this political realm for so many years. And what is he, 75 now?
Yeah, he actually looks pretty good for 75, too. I saw him on television this morning, and he looked, to be honest with you, he looked more like a 50-year-old man.
He's doing pretty good. Plus, he's winning quite a few votes. He's got the voter's edge, and his party holds 2.6 million right now. And he's got 17 million he's raised, more than his rivals. So he's got a pretty good chance of being reelected and running again. And, his shoestring style politicking, as we call it, it may win.
Yeah.
And let's see if he can tackle our drought and the severe debts that we're in. You know, we are definitely in a debt.
Yeah, there's no question about that. His opposition, you say that he's raised over $17 million more than his opposition. Is this pretty much a runaway election, you think?
I think so. I don't see him squabbling too much. He's pretty sure. You know, he's got his on his website, his whole thing is posting on his reputation and his candidacy, and he's pretty confident. And he's got the paperwork in, and it's filed for him to run, so we shall see.
Yep. Well, he has certainly positioned himself pretty good. Right now, California is running surpluses, even though, as you said, the overall debt picture is not all that great. He has been able to turn that state around from running deficits, which was unfortunately the thing that Schwarzenegger found himself to be pretty good at, to running a surplus. Now he has done that by raising taxes. But if he is true to his quote this morning that he wants to show some fiscal discipline, perhaps he will put the state back on a better financial footing.
Yes, which I think he's on the right track, which we discussed in one of our other shows on the budget layout and everything. And I think it sounds good to me, I mean, and so far to a lot of Californians here. So we shall hopefully hope something turns around. Our gas prices don't go up any higher.
Right.
That's for sure.
Hey, Ed and Luann Roxy and the great product that we sponsor here, the sponsor of our show, Roxy Pacifics, we've discovered this week, they sent us some information that this can be used also against, what was it, Lair, radiation sickness or something like that?
Well, that's right, because of the iodine in it. The iodine keeps your thyroid gland from absorbing the radioactive material or the radiation itself.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, the reason I bring... Well, go ahead. Yeah. You said,
this stuff I was going to say is amazing. I've tried it with my throat, and, you know, I've had this cough and the cold, and it just is being stubborn. And a couple sprays right, you know, in the throat area is wonderful. I mean, this stuff is just incredible.
Warm it up and gargle with
it. Anybody out there.
Yeah, warm it up and gargle with it. It's great on your throat.
Okay. Well, then I'll warm it up.
All right. Well, one reason I bring that up is there is a great deal of concern that the Fukushima nuclear disaster in Japan is, you know, allowed radioactive material to be released and that it is making its way to the shore of California. Does that show up in the media in California very often there, the local media or anything?
Yeah, I've heard this before, guys. This has run across more than once, and that's real scary, I got to say, right there. You know, that stuff will definitely get you.
Yeah. Especially if you're a surfer.
Radiation, that's, yeah, you know, we need some of that Roxy Pacific this way.
Yeah, in particular, evidently, in Northern California, Oregon, and Washington is where they're picking up higher than normal instances of radioactive water. All right, and Sonny, we appreciate you being out there so much. Great job, and you have a great week.
Thank you, and you guys as well.
And you enjoy.
Try that gargling with the warm Roxy Pacific. That should do it.
It's great, and especially if you have laryngitis, but also kick back and enjoy the Oscars, girl.
Oh, yes, I am.
All right. That's Sonny. Patricia Summerlin, our California Glow Girl. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks, this is pro wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I listen to the American Adversaries. Tough guy!
Yes, we're all tough guys on the American Adversaries, and so is our listening audience. They're all tough, well, guys and gals. Larry Adams here with Christopher Hart. Johnny Guns is in the studio. Nostradamus. We do not have Carl Jackson. He skipped out to have dinner with his wife and
not dinner. They went to see the movie.
Oh, that's right. They went
Son
to see
of
the
God.
Movie tonight.
They
that's
had dinner
right.
before the show, and then they're going to see Son of God. But don't worry, folks. He has promised not to reveal the ending.
And guess what? My wife and I are going tonight after the show's over.
You too.
We're catching a 10 p.m. flick. Yep.
All right. Just make sure you don't tell me who did it.
No, I won't. Okay. I'm waiting for the sequel, though. That's going to be awesome.
I'm waiting for the book to come out.
Okay. All right, folks.
And hopefully it doesn't have O'Reilly's name on it.
All right, here we go, folks. I tell you what, let's give away some Roxy Pacifics.
Let's do it!
If you have not gotten a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics, now's your chance to get a free bottle. Give us a call, 407-774-8255. We'll take the first two callers to get a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. That's the all-natural kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory fertilizer for your skin to make it grow good and healthily. And you can find out more about it at Roxy Pacifics. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y, Pacifics with an X.net. Or just give them a call out there in San Diego at 619-654-4829. That's Ed Roxy at 619-654-4829. For a free bottle, give us a call right now, 407-674-8255. And as you heard us talking, it's got all kinds of great uses. Everybody should have a bottle of this in your car and in your medicine cabinet for those boo-boos that you hit, you know, sunburn, burns, cuts, scrapes. People who are diabetic especially need this stuff. It will help you heal where you're not healing now. And we get so many testimonials from diabetics.
Eczema, psoriasis.
Those things,
so
too.
So many different things.
Yeah. Let's get back to the show. I wanted to talk just a few minutes, and I know we don't have a whole lot of time left tonight, but we will be hitting this more during the week. And by the way, folks, tomorrow we should have Abe Katzman with us, and we'll be talking about this some then, because our president has a serious problem in the sense that he has deluded himself. He's under a huge illusion, if you will. First of all, this situation in the Ukraine, for the president to stand up for better than a week and basically draw a bunch of more red lines that he is not only doesn't have any intentions of enforcing, but has really no way to enforce, is not good foreign policy. It makes Vladimir Putin look very strong. It makes our president look very weak when our president says, don't do this. this or else, and Vladimir Putin goes ahead and does this.
And he didn't even have the forethought to reach out to our allies and say, hey, let's put a coalition together so we do have some strength to our voice.
So that we speak with one voice and we have a plan. And this is so predictable. Which one of you guys was saying Oliver North predicted this?
Yeah, Sarah Palin actually predicted this would happen, and Oliver North predicted it within a day. He had said, you watch, he was going to invade the Ukraine immediately after the Olympics. And actually, Putin started sending troops in the last day of the Olympics.
And we're talking about in the Crimea. And
so it was very predictable. Everybody knew this was going to happen.
The Russians have both special ops and regular troops now on the ground in Crimea. Now, they do have bases there. They have military bases there. They have a naval base there, exactly. They don't have much of a fleet. I've told you about this on the show before. Their fleet is basically dilapidated. But nonetheless, they have a bigger army than Ukraine does. And oh, by the way, for those people in the Pentagon and others who wanted to do away with the A-10 Warthog because they never thought we'd be in a war with anybody who has tanks anymore, well, guess what? One thing Russia does have still a lot of: tanks.
Yeah, our friend Don Gossett shot us an email the other day. I guess you read that.
Yeah.
All about the A-10s.
Yeah, it's a great, great aircraft. They would be better off getting rid of some of their more modern fighters, I dare say, than those A-10 Warthogs. But to get back to my point, this morning, Jeffrey Goldberg, who's a liberal writer, he writes for The Atlantic and Bloomberg, too, I believe. He was talking on Meet the Press this morning with David Gregory in the crowd about an interview he did with the president. And what he basically said was that that President Obama actually believes, get this, that the world is afraid of him. Okay, believe that or not, Obama believes it.
Being insulated.
He believes that the reason he got a deal with Bashar al-Assad of Syria is because Assad was just quaking in his boots, even though Obama admitted he wasn't going to do anything without Congress's approval. He believes that the Iranians are dealing with us because they are, and I quote now, afraid of him. I want to hear what the Iranians have to say about that. And he also believes that Vladimir Putin, unlike most of the rest of the world who sees Vladimir Putin as trying to reestablish the remnants of the Soviet Union and Russian expansion, he sees this as Vladimir Putin flailing just to hold on to what he already has. He doesn't already have the Ukraine, Mr. President. He didn't have troops in Crimea, Mr. President. He does now, because he doesn't think that you will do anything, Mr. President.
And he's right.
And he is absolutely right. He is so right. But what I found disturbing from this revelation is that the president actually thinks that these people in the world are afraid of him. He actually believes he's drank his own Kool-Aid.
I can't wait to read his third memoir after he's out of office.
Well,
to see what he thinks went on for 8 years.
This is the guy that emptied the ammunition out of his gun, and he's waving it around like, hey, I'm still tough, everybody. I mean, Let's reduce the military and then show the world how tough we are.
By the way, the Security Council met on this today, and guess who wasn't there?
Obama.
Mr. President.
He'll get the notes.
Yeah, he's leading from behind. He's going, wait a minute, I'm back here, I'm behind.
Did Hagel show up? I'm afraid he did.
He did, he showed up. He probably shouldn't. Anyway, folks, we'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Sunny, the California girl from Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. We're all champions in the ring, including all the hottest guys on American Adversary. Love ya.
All right. Welcome back, folks. That's right. We love you, too. We are the American Adversaries on AM 660 The Answer, coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And just a reminder, folks, if you're a homeowner out there or you're thinking of buying or selling a home, you need to talk to our great friend Aubrey Kahn at Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Now, you can reach Aubrey at 321-624-0254. Write this number down, because at some point you're probably going to want to call him. 321 321-624-0254. And if you own a home but you don't want to sell it, you may be able to save yourself a lot of money on your homeowner's insurance. You need to get Aubrey out there to take a look around and see if he can save you some money on wind mitigation discounts. That's 321-624-0254, our great friend Aubrey Kahn.
And if you are not playing along at home and don't have your program with you, let me tell you about our next guest in this segment. He is handsome, elegant, intelligent, sweet. He's really ideal. And by the way, he also writes his own introductions. That would be the author of our WTF News, Mr. Johnny Guns.
Wow. So
he's ready for the dating game, but we'd have to get a new host.
Wow.
You heard about Jim Lang, right?
No.
Jim Lang died.
Yeah, he passed away this past week. Yeah.
Did we give him a big to send him off?
Oh, that was a cute show.
Yeah. I need a dating game right about now. So, you know, anybody, any ladies want to be contestants on my dating game?
You told me you had game.
Just give me, I've got no game. I've got no game.
But you got some good stones.
Yes. And I got to give a quick shout out real quick. Hello to Jim, Scott, and the men's group at Renew Church in Ocoee. Surprised me by telling us that they listened. They came across the show last week and heard us, and enjoyed the show. So, hello, guys. And
keep listening, guys.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you much.
All right. Story number one. U.S. President Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden making news because they have released a video of themselves exercising as part of First Lady Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign. Oh, if only this was the Let's Move out of the White House campaign. The video clip posted to YouTube features Obama checking his watch in the Oval Office, checking when his next tea time is, and the Vice President Biden comes in and asks the Commander-in-Chief if he's ready to move. The executives are then shown jogging through the hallways of the White House and outside the building, running away from responsibility while workout music plays. Obama and Biden are then shown stretching before returning to the Oval Office for a glass of water. In the video, Obama says, after a good workout, gotta drink up, otherwise we're gonna get in trouble with Jill and Michelle.
I was gonna say, the only time Joe Biden works out is when he's working his elbow, throwing them shots back.
I thought you were gonna say 12 ounces at a time.
Yeah, something like that. You got it.
Alright, are you guys ready for Mardi Gras?
Oh, New Orleans. Fat Tuesday.
Yeah, well, apparently we've got some pretty good floats that have been unveiled so far.
Yeah,
many of the parade floats have already hit the streets in anticipation of Wednesday's big kickoff, and two of them are rather amusing, mocking the rollout of Obamacare.
No.
Yes, one features a giant Obama head wearing a mask and an old-style doctor's head mirror, but in his hands are giant bags of money. Emblazoned on the head mirror are the words, buy or die.
Oh.
Other placards on that same float include death panel and, my favorite, bend over.
Oh!
Now let's move on to that second float.
That was the guy's name, right?
Bend over.
And his sister Eileen.
The second float appears as a storefront, you know, old-timey storefront, with sayings painted in the windows and on the chimney. One says, keep your doctor. Another says, keep your plan. Then there's a painting of a woman on a computer who sits steaming while her computer screen shows, try back later. Another window says, loading, 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 while on yet another is written, user error. And this one also has the words, death panels on it. It also features an Obama figure holding a giant stick pin and wearing a glitzy top hat and tails that say, Dr. Prez on his hat. Dr. Prez has a word bubble next to his head saying, this is going to hurt, and he's holding a voodoo doll that says patience on it, awaiting Dr. Prez's giant stick pin. The float will also feature riders that will, instead of throwing out beads, will be shouting, show me your tatas for healthcare.
Well, that's only appropriate because we sure enough have gotten it stuck to us.
That's right. And finally, a Harlem pastor is upset with President Obama about what he has, quote-unquote, released upon the world, and he's not talking about drone strikes. Nope, according to a sign outside the Atla World Missionary Church in Harlem, it reads, Obama has released the homo demons on the black man. Look out, black woman. A white homo may take your man.
Wait a minute. There is so much wrong with that sentence.
Where to start with this? First off, have anybody seen homo demons? Pastor James David Manning told the New York Daily News that he erected the sign because more gays have come into the neighborhood due to gentrification. It's an attempt to save the black family, Manning said. However, Harlem residents not really digging the sign. It's just appalling, said one neighborhood woman. And another, Ronald Flagg, said, a church is supposed to be a place that's all-inclusive. Why does Obama have to do... What does Obama have to do with people being homosexual? He has enough to deal with in this country. Now, I believe this pastor is mistaken in this regard, in that his assumption that, you know, the white man is going to steal Harlem husbands, because doesn't he know that when you go black, you never go back.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, by the way, did you know that Spike Lee is on the same kick of disliking or talking about how bad the gentrification of Harlem is? He wants to keep the old way. He didn't like all these wealthy white people coming into his town.
It just reminds me
of bringing people up.
It's interesting you say that, because nobody bothered asking them, right?
The people who know what's best for them know what's best for
them. It's kind of like the NFL. Have you heard about this thing where the NFL wants to outlaw and penalize
the N-word?
They're saying the N-word.
Yes. 15 yards.
Look who's complaining about the new rule. Do you know who's complaining about the new rule?
The black players.
The black players.
Yep.
Exactly.
The ones that use the word the most.
And because they say they use the word, quote unquote, as a term of endearment. Now, I've heard black people use that word.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is used as a word of endearment.
Yes. Sure.
Sometimes it's used just like, say, a white racist would use it. They can, but nonetheless, it's okay for them. But here it is. Here's, you know, the white NFL, the white gentrification people, not thinking that perhaps the blacks don't want you help.
You know what they're going to do at the end of a play in the NFL?
What's that?
Have a black player on the offense and a black player on the defense shout the N-word at each other. And the refs are going to have to march off 15 yards in one direction and 15 yards in the other direction.
I told you, Chris, about my friend. I have an African-American friend who years ago said, you know, I really hate it when white people tell me when I should be offended.
That's right.
And that's absolutely right.
Hey, guys, what if somebody's last name is Jigger? On the field, Jigger. Guy's last name is Jigger. How are you going to do that? How are you going to ascertain that nobody said it a different way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, nonetheless, I guess maybe the NFL should ask the black players how they feel about that. And I've got a couple of little things here. First of all, last September, if you were looking at the moon and you thought you saw a little flash on the moon, you might actually have seen little flash on the moon. You know what I'm talking about, Larry.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about the moon.
I didn't see it. You got it right there, but it's pretty wild.
Yeah, a meteorite. It may have been about 4.5 feet in diameter, pretty good-sized boulder, smashed into the side of the moon that we see, the lit side, not the dark side of the moon.
The one with the face on it.
Yeah, exactly. And it was large enough that if somebody happened to be looking when it struck, you would have seen like a flash, like a camera flash, so to speak.
Now, I think you had to be in Europe or possibly Asia. I believe we were blacked out at the time, but
part of
the Earth could see
it. Is there video somewhere of this?
That,
I'd love to see it.
I don't think so.
They say it was a refrigerator-sized meteor.
Mm. Wow.
And it's, you know, with the naked eye, that'd be pretty cool, though.
What would give it that flash just because this object hit the
impact?
It would have been an explosive impact,
big one they're hitting in Russia.
Well, but that was a lot of what you saw in Russia was because of the thing was atmosphere. Breaking up in the atmosphere. Yeah. There actually is a tiny bit of atmosphere, but very, 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 very little atmosphere on the moon. Enough that we can say there is no atmosphere. So the flash was basically when the meteorite impacted, and it wasn't a flash explosion in the sense of fire, but it was the dust and everything flash, blowing up and then reflecting
light. Reflection of the sunlight. Yeah.
I think it's the moon people and their Polaroids. I think they were just trying to get a good picture.
The Chinese just put a little probe up there. You never know about them Chinese.
You got to be careful where they put their probes.
All right, and this was in the Wall Street Journal, and I knew you folks would love this. This is the Saturday-Sunday edition, and it's a little thing they do that they call notable and quotable, where they put excerpts. Usually it's an excerpt from an article that someone has written. Sometimes it's a historical thing. Sometimes it's contemporary. So let me just read this. This is two paragraphs. It's self-explanatory. Notable and quotable. From a memo in the documents released Friday by the National Archives and the Clinton Presidential Library, there were thousands of documents that were released just the other day, written by White House aide Todd Stern on January 22, 1994, regarding a draft of the State of the Union mentioning a proposed health care reform. And now I quote, "We have a line on page 10 that says," and he quotes, "you'll pick the health plan and the doctor of your choice," unquote. Now he goes on, "this sounds great, and I know it that it's just what people want to hear." Here's where it gets interesting. "But can we get away with it? Isn't the whole thrust of our health plan to steer people toward cheaper HMO-style providers? It's one thing to say we'll preserve your option to pick the doctor of your choice, recognizing that this will cost more. It's quite another to appear to promise the nation that everyone will get to pick the doctor of his or her choice. And that's exactly what this line does. I am very worried about getting skewered for overpromising here on something we know full well, we won't deliver. Unfortunately," now that was it, "unfortunately, President Obama did not have a speechwriter evidently as smart or as gutsy as Todd Stern, the presidential speechwriter for Bill Clinton, who could have piped up and when the president was out there saying, if you like your plan, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, you can keep it. Perhaps if he'd have had somebody to stand up there and say, Mr. President, you're basically lying, maybe the president wouldn't have got caught in such a big lie." We'll be right back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are heading back to the docks on our three-hour tour. The dock is on site. We are getting ready to pull on in. Thank you for joining us on our trip this evening. In WTF News, Chris had a story that talked about the lunar explosion, the meteorite, refrigerator-sized meteorite hitting the moon. And if you want to see it, it is on YouTube. You can search for a large lunar impact blast on, get this date, September 11th, 2013. So put that search into YouTube, a large lunar impact blast on September 11th, 2013, and you can check out that eight-second flash there.
That's what started the Benghazi thing.
No, that was the year before.
Oh, okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Again,
and by the way, what difference does it make
at this point?
Come on.
Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had a whole lot of fun, but now it's time to get serious a little bit. And we've had a lot of fun, and now it's time to reflect on Lair Adams with his closing comments.
Are you saying I'm not going to be fun?
Oh, no.
Are you?
I don't know. Amigos, I'd like to chat about a simple phrase that sounds so benign, friendly, and gentle. They can wreak havoc on human beings. You'll understand when you hear this two-word combination, because in some way or another, it has affected you and every other sentient biped there ever was. Listen up, because the insidious little ditty I'm talking about is free advice. Now, I know a lot of suggestions we've been given have been extremely helpful and educational. But what about the free advice you took that, just didn't work out quite how you expected? Free advice can be so worthwhile and so not worth the cost. The real problem is free advice given with good intentions. And that is where this story involves me. A few decades ago, I was working part-time in a chain pet store while going to broadcast school in Tennessee. I've always liked animals and have a knack for sales, and got a call from the pet store's corporate office. The head honcho informed me he was sending a prospective franchise buyer to look at my store and wanted me to put the schmooze on him as to how great pet store ownership would be. Now, all I did for this operation was sell. I was never involved in the accounting end and couldn't tell you if we'd ever made a dime. But boy, I could sell. This fellow was so impressed with me, I could have sold him fire ant killer if he lived in an igloo. In all honesty, I never told him what a great business owning a pet shop would be. I just told him how much fun I was having. As he headed out the door, I knew his fingers were just aching to sign a contract. Shortly after, I heard he and a family member mortgaged their homes and put a deposit on a space in a new mall that was just breaking ground in southern Kentucky. Now, to give you an idea what kind of folk lived there, the mall developers drove to the field the farmer was plowing to personally hand him the check for the purchase of the mall property. The old farmer stopped his tractor long enough for the two men in their fancy suits to hand him a cashier's check for $3.5 million. The farmer took the check, and without looking at it, folded it in half, said thank you, put it in his shirt pocket, and went back to plowing. I tell you this to give you an idea of the down-home, unfancy folk that lived around the new mall. These were people that always got their dogs and cats for free. The thought of paying $400 to $1,000 for a fancy pet store pup was a shock. And I was soon to learn the new owner knew absolutely nothing about running a business. In no time, expensive dogs were flying out the door, but the owner was unable to meet payroll. He'd been selling pets and pet supplies for less than they cost him, because it made that day's numbers look so good. Sure enough, he lost the store. Then he and his partner lost their houses. Now, I don't blame myself. They made the mistakes. But it brought home to me one of life's little lessons. Sometimes, free advice is very expensive. My advice to you, my friends, is only to have a great week.
All right, great job, Lair, as usual. And folks, once again, you can hear Lair's closing comments over and over again by simply going to our archive at radio, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and just go back and listen to those Sunday segments with Lair. Real quick, folks, just a couple of announcements. Carl Jackson's radio show is sponsoring a free community dog vaccination and veterinary outreach. This will be Saturday, March 15th. That's 2 weeks from yesterday at the Faith Assembly on Curry Ford Road in Orlando. You'll get free vaccinations for your dog for rabies and parvos. You must bring your dog with a leash, and if it's aggressive, it must be muzzled. You'll also have to bring your Florida ID as well. But the dogs will be treated first come, first serve. That's Saturday, March 15th, 2:30 to 5:30 at Faith Assembly on Curry Ford Road in Orlando. Saturday, March 15th, 2:30 to 5:30 to get a free vaccination for your dog.
And I can vouch for Carl. He's had his shots.
And once again, he's overseeing Son of God, the movie tonight, folks. I'd recommend, if you can, please do get out and see Son of God. If not, at least when it comes out on DVD, pick up a copy of it, because it's a great story. It was produced and made by the same people who did the Bible series that was on the History Channel that got rave reviews and great ratings. It's very well done. I saw the trailer of it. It is rated PG, and I believe that that's because of the scene where Jesus is
It's a violent story.
It is. They're portraying it exactly as it happened from all accounts.
That's right.
Sorry, but there is death in it. Get ready.
It's not Passion of Your Christ type stuff, but it does have the story of the Son of God. So please do go out and see that. Carl's seen it tonight, but he has promised us he will not reveal the ending to us. So we'll look forward to having Carl back next week. Also, you can catch Carl Jackson live every Saturday morning right here on 660 AM The Answer at 8 o'clock. His show is replayed at 6 o'clock. And don't forget Marshall Polston. That kid really does know how to do a show. And he does a great show at live every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock right here on 660 AM The Answer. That's Marshall Polston. And don't forget, tonight is a special starting tonight on 950, our sister station up the dial here. John Butler Book is going to debut his show on Sunday nights, and it'll be every Sunday night on 950. And don't forget now, Armed American Radio will still be here on 660 AM The Answer. If you are a big fan of John Butler Books, 950 is the place to go.
And I'm not sure, but I think he has a special guest tonight. I think it's our friend Roger Franklin Williams.
Yeah, I saw Roger hanging around the hallway here. So
John's got on a green jacket. He must be a golfer.
There you go. So John Book, he has a great show as well. So don't forget those guys. And please do support them and support their sponsors. And please support our sponsors, because all those three guys and us, we can't do our shows without sponsorship help. We don't get paid by the radio station. None of us do. John doesn't. Marshall doesn't. Carl doesn't. We don't. We have to pay them. So we need your help. We need you to help support our sponsors. Okay, folks, that's going to do it for tonight. But once again, I want to thank you for being with us.
We always love our listeners because you are the smartest, best listening audience on the planet Earth, because obviously you listen to us. Oh, well, the American Adversaries, as I said before, is here 6 days a week, 5 o'clock. Do not miss us. Tomorrow night, drive time through the rest of the week. Have a wonderful week, folks.
Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660.